Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Microsoft Project Online overview session. My name's Brad Purdy, and I'm the Enterprise Project Management Solutions Specialist for Microsoft Australia. And I'm actually delighted to have Christoph Fissinger with us from our product group in Redmond. So welcome to Tech Ed Australia, Christoph, and the sunny delights of the Gold Coast.
Thank you, Brad.
A couple of questions before we get started that I just want to get a bit of a feel for you as an audience. It's great to see, by the way, many familiar faces and also some new faces. So first question that I've got is, how many people actually in the audience have heard of Project Server? Fantastic. Great start. How many people use Project Server now? Have it deployed? 2003? 2007? 2010, more hands going up, terrific, and someone up the back as well, great. And the final question that I've got is how many people actually use Office 365 at the moment as well? Okay, a few hands going up, another hand up the back, great. Terrific, thank you. What I want to do is just go through the objectives in the agenda that we have this afternoon. We are here to promise you that it's not all going to be slideware. We're going to spend the majority of our time actually demonstrating this exciting capability that we're bringing to you. Firstly, we want to talk about Office 365, what it is in a little bit of high detail, what the hype's about. Then we're going to introduce you to Project Online, which is what you're here to see. But also we feel it's important to give you some ideas on how you can actually get started with Project Online. And of course, we've saved time at the end for some Q&A, some key takeaways, and also some calls to action and next steps that we'd like you to take. So without any further ado, I'm going to hand over to Christoph to talk about what is Office 365.
Thank you, Brad. So as Brian mentioned, it's definitely a pleasure to be here. It is a historical moment. You know, I started actually as a consultant doing Project Server 2002 deployment. And I think the release we're going to be talking about, especially with online, is a milestone release that whether you're a customer, whether you're a partner selling services, whether you're a partner billing apps, large customer, small customer, regardless of the vertical, you know, federal, defense, private sectors, I do think that this is a turning moment for our business, whether it's the desktop that you're probably familiar with, project desktop, project standard, project professional, whether it's the server, or more importantly, the topic we're going to be discussing today, which is online. So definitely a pleasure to be here. And I promise this is just the one slide on 365. I actually attended quite a few sessions already today. And just seeing the show of hands, it's great to see the awareness of Office 365 in the Australian market. Can't really say that about all the markets that I visited recently. But this is just a slide that we put in to throw in some stats. Again, 200 level session. There was a great session this morning from two of our colleagues that delivered, called Office 365 for Enterprise, kind of like the end-to-end demo of what 365 is. But again, just to show the momentum and show how we, Microsoft, are committed to online, this is a couple of stats that illustrates that. You know, we're in 88 countries and 32 languages. I mean, stepping back, we've only shipped this a little over a year ago, back in June 2011. And obviously, the countries, the regions, we're adding that all the time. So we're on this journey, and every month we're releasing new capabilities, whether it's, you know, penetrating new markets or just enhancements to the platform. Fastest growing business at Microsoft. Again, it's never signed that a lot of you are voting with your feet and adopting the platform, again, whether you're a partner, your customers, whether, you know, you want to outsource email, collaboration, etc. 99.9, again, you expect that in an online environment. You know, if the reason you're going to put the data in and trust Microsoft, you do have obviously a pretty high bar in terms of expectations. I think the next one, industry standards, it was mentioned in the session earlier this morning, but it's again, the notion that obviously we're putting billions of dollars building data centers across the world. We want to promise a great service level agreement. But also, we want third-party validation on how great are we are following our best practices, whether it's security, whether it's compliance, whether it's protecting personal information, et cetera, et cetera. And the industry standards, the list of third-party standards that we already have been certified on in a little over a year is pretty impressive. And, you know, there's only, I'd say, only one other company in the world that's going at this scale with that many certification out there. And then 24 by 365, again, it's the idea that, you know, from an expectation point of view, you as a customer, and it's probably from your users, whoever you are, you expect the thing to work on whatever device you are. So this is 365. The only thing I'm going to do in terms of demo is, again, I'm going to show you the, I'm not going to do a 365 in-market demo because you really care about the next version. But I always point customers or people that typically have low wear or have some, you know, there's obviously a lot of myth about what is online and what it isn't and, you know, what happens with your data, et cetera. And I think is there one page that maybe you can consume or pass it on to your business decision maker or pass it on to your favorite customer if you're a partner. And it's this page. If you could just type office365.com and you go to the, it explains our existing services on the different offers, et cetera. But if you go to the last link, which is the Trust and Security Center, and it pretty much shows what I was discussing earlier in terms of protecting privacy and being a leader and adhering to standards. But I think the one I really want to call out is the independently verified. And that's where you get a lot more color in terms of the standards that we've been certified on by third party. And again, it, you know, I'm not going to go into what each one is, but in a nutshell, whether we're in Europe and we've got to adhere to a standard, whether it's U.S. federal, whether it's you know, just general data processing, we're already quite we're certified on quite a few standards. Now, obviously, this is a journey. You know, I know there's no data center in Australia, and you probably have country-specific things. And you know, if not from Australia, every country's got its own set of standards. So this is a journey. We're serious about it. Here's what we delivered in a little less than a year, or a little over a year. But you know, we're going to continue adding those standards and being the, you know, the number one player, the trusted advisor. In online. With that, let me go back to slides and pass it on to Brad.
Great. Thanks, Christoph. There are many business challenges associated with delivering and executing projects, programs, and portfolios. Why don't you spend a couple of minutes just talking to you about the experiences that I've taken away through interacting with customers and partners across Australia and across a variety of industries and the challenges that we most commonly see. And the first one, it's around providing access to information anywhere and any time. That's one. But there's an added complexity to that at the moment where they want that information on any device, whether it's your iPhone, your iPad, your Windows phone, your laptop, your Android device, or the plethora of devices that people carry these days. People want and need access to that information straight away. As an example, I was dealing with one of our large mining and resources customers who had this challenge. They've got geographically dispersed teams in weird and wonderful remote locations, and they need access to their schedules, they need access to their reports, their risk registers, their issue registers. So I was actually able to have a discussion with the customer around the features that are available within Project Server, but also excitingly around the innovation that we're bringing with Project Online and the new project. The second common challenge that I see is certainly around the cost and the complexity of setting up and managing your infrastructure, the support around that and the maintenance around that. It's probably one of the biggest inhibitors that I see talking to customers for why they actually don't move forward with the deployment. So what we do is we actually have an informed discussion with the customer about how you can deploy a project as a hosted service, and then also, again, the innovations that we're bringing with Project Online. And the third one that I'd like to call out is probably where I personally spend the majority of my time in talking to customers around demand management and portfolio management, giving the opportunity to compete effectively in their chosen markets, but also ensuring that they align their investments with their priorities. And a couple of common scenarios or questions that I get asked is, how do we have a single source of truth around all the demand? We're getting hundreds of projects or initiatives or requests or ideas thrown at us on a monthly basis. How do we actually capture that into a single source of truth? How do we wrap governance and control around those requests that are coming at us? And then invariably the conversation turns to, okay, we've found a way to get that single source of truth. We've got good governance in place. But now what initiatives do we do? How are they aligned with our business strategy? What initiative or project or idea is going to give us the best return on our investment? And then we have a deeper conversation around the portfolio optimization and prioritization capabilities that we deliver through Project, and now some of the enhancements that we're delivering through the new Project and Project Online. And the last one up there on the screen is probably the one that we talk about most. And I haven't come across a customer that isn't looking for more visibility and control around what people are working on. And it's not just project work now. I've seen a trend over the last, probably 3 or 4 years where organizations are looking for that capability, or they're having challenges capturing what people are working on in unstructured as well as structured work. Think about what people are doing not only with projects, but how much time are they spending on change requests? How much time are they spending on maintenance activities? How much time are they spending on business as usual activities? So the key thing that I'm hearing and that I'm seeing is that people want a holistic view over their resources and where their resources are spending their time, because what they're ultimately trying to do is ensure as much utilization of their resources to maintain their costs and make sure that people are spending their time efficiently and also, of course, effectively. So it's really having that holistic view. So Christoph, tell us about the new project. It's what we've come here to see.
Sure, and for the two gentlemen at the back, we got plenty of seats if you want to grab a seat. So the new project, again, hopefully some of you have seen the new office, the new SharePoint. The first question I get asked typically is, why are you calling it the new project? And a couple of things is, again, we're leading with services. We're leading with online. In an online world, version doesn't matter anymore. So that's what we're calling the new office, the new SharePoint, the new Word, and the new project. And then also when we talk, Microsoft, about project, we're it bundles both the desktop application that you probably cherish if you're a project manager and also the servers piece. And the tagline for this next version is a flexible online on-premise solution for PPM on everyday work. So let me explain a little bit. Online on-premise, obviously we're going to talk about that. Typically to illustrate that point is, back in Redmond, the engineering team, they're only shipping one project server. It just gets packaged in two different channels. There's one you're going to get as MSDN or on DVD or volume licensing, and there's another one that's going to get bundled in 365. You know, there's not two different code base, and Christoph, the developer, is fixing a bug for Project Online, and he's fixing a bug for Project Server on-prem. It's just one product. Same thing with SharePoint. There's a SharePoint on-prem, SharePoint Online. The code base, the Jeff Tepper, who's the general manager for engineering, there's just one product. So that's what I want to stress. You know, we're not shipping two different products. And the reason I'm stressing is you're going to see a lot of the innovation that we had to do in terms of re-architecting the product or some of the new capabilities. You'll see all the demos we'll be doing today is all online, because guess what? Online on-prem, feature to feature parity. There's no deprecation if you go online or you get less online versus on-prem. Solution for PPM on everyday work, that's what Brad talked about a little bit. So PPM, first of all, if you've never heard that acronym, it stands for Project Portfolio Management, which is the industry acronym for this notion of demand management, resource management, portfolio analysis, and everyday work. Again, when we look at how people manage work, there's not such thing as one type of work, and maybe a SharePoint task list might be a very good solution to manage maintenance requests. Maybe a SharePoint item list is very good to do change requests or ideation. And obviously, SharePoint has pretty good penetration in all the markets worldwide. So why don't we, you know, tell you, hey, Brad, you can continue using the task list to do your business as usual task. But guess what? Maybe someone higher up in IT, if Brad belongs to the IT department, I want to know what Brad's working on more importantly, his availability. So, you know, if he's doing, if he's working part-time doing ticketing within my organization, I want to know that he's free number 50% so I can put in, I don't know, on the new project online migration or on this new infrastructure investment. So that's what we mentioned by everyday work. It's not just work managing project on project server, but we also want to give you the abilities to manage work to which typically not as structured as the project server work outside. And then the four pillars, and Brad will talk about the benefits, but basically, you know, we've been in this business for a little while, over 20 years, and hopefully from an end user interface on interaction, we've gone a long way and we still want to, you know, lead the space, but we're giving you a familiar user experience, whether it's the desktop, you know, it's familiar to the office user experience. It's kind of like the same getting started experience. You know, we help you get value very quickly. But same thing on the server, whether you're an executive or you're just IT or you just want to build a view or something that matters to you, we help you get started very quickly because we're built on SharePoint. That's the next pillar there. And we could spend a whole session on, you know, what is the benefit of being built on top of SharePoint? You know, how does it help us building rich report and business intelligence? How does it help us create workflow and business processes? How does it help us with collaboration? But basically, again, we've been built on SharePoint for 2007, 2010, 2013. We're continuing to do so. And again, another thing I want to share with you, from a Microsoft perspective, the project engineering team, the developers, program manager, testers that are building the product are part of the SharePoint team. Same thing, I belong to their marketing organization, we're part of the SharePoint team. So there's a total alignment, whether it's, you know, engineering building a product or marketing looking at compete on positioning, on how we build a product and ship the product. The next thing I already mentioned, you know, we deliver in Office 365. You know, obviously 365 has been around for a little over a year. You had Exchange Online for messaging. You had Link Online for, you know, meetings and communications. You had obviously SharePoint Online for sites. And obviously now Project in the upcoming version will be also part of the 365 offering. And then Build for the Cloud, again, as I said, you know, we're only shipping one project server. One's going to be on-prem, and one's going to be online. And to do so, we had to re-architect the product, because, again, we're not maintaining two code bases. And by being built for the cloud, all the investments we did to be part of 365, all of you that, again, for regulatory or compliance, you know, you might say, Christoph, I'm not ready to do the cloud. It's not going to happen in my lifetime or in my career. That's fine. But guess what? All the innovation you're getting in terms of better scalability, multi-browser support, lower cost of goods sold, or lower total cost of ownership, you're getting all that innovations because, again, we're leading with online. So in an online world, when you get thousands and hundreds of thousands of customers worldwide, we've got to be pretty efficient because, obviously, us, Microsoft, we're in the business of hosting our services, and we do want to make where it's a for-profit service. With that, let's have Brad talk about the benefits.
Thanks, Christoph. So taking a look at what Christoph just introduced, and before we move into the demo environment pretty quickly, there are four key benefits that I just wanted to call out, and I want you to really take note of and take it away as a key takeaway from this session. The first one is taking action and taking action quickly. It's really coming back to that challenge that we talked about before in terms of allowing people to access their information anywhere, anytime, and any device. But moreover, it's around enabling people to get started quickly. Think about the time and productivity that can be gained from having templates readily available and inbuilt into the tool, the methodology, your processes automated, having your reporting automated as well, getting that information, making real-time decisions. That's what it's about. It's being able to take action and take action quickly. The second key benefit that I'd like to call out is the flexibility in delivering the project and program, project and portfolio management capability that they desire. The ability to manage all types of resources, the ability to manage all types of work. But also, I think it goes a step further. It's enabling governance and control. And when I talk about that, it's not one size fits all. We understand that. And it's not just every organization's different, but also departments within organizations are different as well. The new project will give you the capability to employ various governance standards that suit the project management maturity of your users across the organization. The third one is around collaboration. The success of any project is often down to how well your teams collaborate, how well that they communicate. The project will provide you with the tools to enable that. Think about wikis, think about blogs, think about email, think about looking at it in terms of capturing and communicating in a structured way and communicating in a non-structured way. What's the benefit of all that? It's data-driven decisions. Okay, so the people that I talk to want the right information at the right time to make the right information, and we'll certainly be able to deliver that. And finally, but certainly not least, it's providing increased agility and control for IT. The new project, as Christoph just mentioned, is built with the cloud in mind. So it's going to be easier to deploy, it's going to be easier to maintain, and it's certainly going to be easier to support. Moreover, the innovation and the direction that we've taken in terms of the integration with other line of business applications is going to deliver a lot of benefits back to you and back to your organization as well. Think about integrating project with CRM, the benefits of that. Think about integrating project with TFS for your development activities. Some great benefits to come from that as well. And also better integration with Exchange is going to deliver more benefits back to you at the end of the day as well. And also the app model that you've heard probably quite a lot about over the last, say, 24 hours is going to come into the project environment as well to enable you to deliver capabilities back to your end users that you potentially couldn't before. So we did promise that we weren't going to be all slideware, so we actually want to spend probably about the next 40, 45 minutes actually introducing you to Project Online, what it is and what it looks like. So, Christoph.
Thanks, Brad. Again, for those of you at the back, there's still plenty of seats up front. One more slide before we do the rest of the session is going to be demos. But basically, in this day where we're going to be giving you an online environment, and literally it takes 10 minutes. You know, from the time you sign in, you go to our site today, and you get a project web app, full-blown 12-cylinder engine to do end-to-end project portfolio management, 10 minutes. But, you know, we're obviously on this journey, and there's a lot of things we want to learn and improve on. And, you know, we came up with this first version on how to get started. And obviously, you got the first thing you got to do is sign up for 365. For those of you that haven't done it, you know, definitely encourage you to just kick the tires, see how it looks. You know, it's in preview, it's free, it doesn't cost much, and in minutes you can see how are we offering the services, administrative experience, how do you add users, how do you assign license, how do we give you insights on how our services are done. The next thing is one thing I'll talk a little bit about later, which has been mentioned already if you attended the other Office on SharePoint session, which is this notion of the click-to-run or subscription. How many of you have heard of that in prior sessions? I see a couple hands. Not everyone. Again, one thing we're doing in the online world that obviously Office Professional is leading, that Visio is offering, that Project is offering, is this notion of click to run. Meaning, in a nutshell, let's say I got my Microsoft laptop, and you know I got Project, I got Outlook, I got Word, I've got Visio. That's okay. But let's say I'm traveling to the Gulf Coast this week, and you know I want to pick up where I left off on the project plan. I want to pick up where I left off on the rich document that I'm editing, and you know, web app is okay for Word, and you know, web app is okay for Outlook. But maybe I want a little more richer experience. Well, with the click to run, I can stream the Project Professional bits to another machine. And it takes a couple of minutes. Last time I did a demo from a data center in Amsterdam, I was in Canada at that time. It took about 2 minutes. So it streams the application to whatever the machine you are working on, or you need to access the, in this case, Project Professional. And then you can start, you know, executing your work. And let's say maybe you're at a kiosk, or you're sitting at a library, or your friend's computer. When you close it off, you know, the application dehydrates. There's no footprint on that laptop, and you did your work, and here you go. Or maybe it's a PC you've got at home, where, you know, it's your home PC, but maybe again you want to pick it up where you left it off at work, and maybe do a little scheduling, a little critical path. And again, with Click to Run, you get the latest and greatest version of Project on all those PCs. So again, I think there's a session tomorrow on this, but there's a lot of content that's going to be coming out that Project, Visio, obviously it's also Office, is delivered in 365. Get started with a Project web app. I'll show you that a little bit, how the user interface. Again, we want you to get value pretty quickly, whether you know you're starting, whether you're a very maturity level one, whether you're 2, 3, 4. You know, we want you to start getting value out of the solution pretty quickly. And I'll talk about more features. That's kind of like a catch-all of, you know, you want to do demand management. You don't want to do portfolio analysis. You want to add an app to the application to do specific methodology. And it's pretty easy to do in Project Online. I put the links. You know, you all have access to the slides. You get a HTTP link to additional information. And from there on, let's just demo. Okay, so I got about four things I want to show you. But before I start, again, I want to show you that we are part of 365. It's a new service. So what you're looking at here is the 365 preview. One way to tell is you get, first of all, it's the blue theme. But if you go look in the upper left corner here, it does say Office 365 preview, not to confuse with the existing 365 service. But this is the home page. This is the experience I get as a what we call tenant administrator. Think of a tenant as an organization, whether it's a one-person organization or whether it's thousands of employees in my organization. And this is where I manage all the services. This is where I manage users. This is where I live and breathe. So to show you that we're now part of this of 365, there's a couple of ways to show it to you. I mean, one way to do it, if I go to User and Grooves, and if you've never seen this, this is where you manage users, but more importantly, licensing on services via access. And here, you know, we get a bit of test data, but if I just click on myself, you can see that, you know, I've already, you know, I've got access to the Visio subscription, and I've got access to this new plan and Project Online and other stuff. And obviously, down below, because I've added Project Online on top of an E3 tenant, I also have access to Exchange Online, Link Online, et cetera. So this is one way to show it to you. Let's go back into the homepage for 365. And one way to show it to you is you go to Service Health. Again, that's something you have today. This is not new in this upcoming version. We just made improvements. But one way to tell that Project is a new service as part of the online offerings, you go to, you get each row is a service, each column is a day, and it gives you downtime. And here's the new kid on the block, Project Online. Okay? So new, you obviously, this is the tenant admin. There's a lot of documentations you can consume on the existing tenant administration and also on TechNet. And my colleagues earlier did a pretty thorough walkthrough of all the different settings you've got in the new tenant admin experience. One more thing I want to show you is, so on the left-hand side, you got all the things, standard menus and actions I would do as a tenant administrator. And then at the top here, you got typically the standard set of services that I subscribe. So if I would have, for instance, unchecked, you know, Exchange Online as a service for this user, suddenly Outlook in the right here in the top nav would disappear. So again, things adapt based on what services I've assigned to each user. So here I've checked everything, and I got, you know, all those things popping. If you just sign up for Project Online, you'll see Project as actually as a top citizen on the row, but here we couldn't fit it. But before I jump to the Project web app, I want to show you the administrative settings, which is another way to look at the service. So I go here in the admin. Again, this is not something you would be doing every day, and this is probably for the tenant admin, or if you think back on the on-premise world, you know, the SharePoint or the central admin administrator. And here you can see, again, we're living in and breathing on top of SharePoint, so you get a set of site collections and things I've enabled. Here on the left-hand side, I've got all the administrative tasks I can do in that multi-tenant environment. And guess what? Right here in the middle, we've got a set of site collections with the new web app. So just to pause here is you sign up for a tenant, and then in a tenant, you can have multiple site collections that do different stuff, pretty much like you would do on-prem. And online, with preview, you can have three what we call web app. And typically the first question is, why would you have three, Christoph? And again, you know, if you are a small organization, you probably don't need three. But if you're a larger organization, you might have one project management office for IT. You might have one for R&D. You might have one as a sandbox environment or as a training environment, et cetera. So that's what we give you out of the box. I think when the service is available, the next version of 365, I think if you want to have additional one, you can just call in and people will turn on additional web app. But if I select one, and when you sign up for the preview, what I was mentioning earlier that takes 10 minutes, it's by default, it's whatever the name you came up here. In this case, it's Project Online 2. And then you go to Project Web App. You can see here the settings and things you can modify. Okay? So that's multiple Project Web App in a tenant. So now let's just start diving in into the web app. So again, there's different ways. I could click on this link. I could click here. Another cool way to do it, actually, in the new version of SharePoint, I can bookmark a set of links and URL, and I can access it here based on the things I'm following. So that's one way to get there. So that's, let me go, actually what I want to show you is, remember I had three web app. I want to show you one that I haven't touched. And this is one I haven't touched. It's got no data. It's a blank web app with no data. So before I dive in, again, back to the notion that we want to help you get started. And you've probably seen that if you've seen attended prior sessions or if you downloaded SharePoint 2013 or Kick the Tire in 365, you're seeing those carousel more and more in whether you're managing a team site in web app. And again, based on research we've done on end user research, this is one way to help with this getting started and help people get value pretty quickly. The carousel here, you can disable it. Obviously, if it doesn't meet your business needs, you know, you might have a specific one for your PMO. You might have, I don't know, Prince2, an agile carousel with the standard agile stuff you would do. This is what we ship out of the box, but you can extend that if you want to customize it. But basically, this carousel, the most common thing typically we'd think people would want when they start is, you know, I want to bring data, and there's multiple options. As soon as I've got data, I want to slice and dice and look at the rubies, the gems, the diamonds, and see, you know, am I late? Do I have enough capacity? What are the deliverables this month, next month, et cetera? Probably the next thing you want to do is you want to invite others, especially in an online world where it's not just about contoso.com on my Active Directory, but this day and age, there's always a specialist, a consultant, and I'm sure there's a few in the room, a partner that has specific skill that's going to contribute to a specific stage or a set of tasks on a particular project. And guess what? You know, today, if you want to access an on-prem, besides adding that person on Active Directory, which typically, you know, IT is not too pleased about it, you know, you can enable forms off and different authentication, but it's just not, it's a little challenging. In 2013, SharePoint has made it easier to share it and invite others that are not part of my Active Directory so they can start contributing. So that's this tile. More features, I'll get back to that. Your site, your brand, it's very easy to theme this and make it change the color, change the logo, change the background. And obviously, I'll get back to this last style, but basically, this is about adding additional functionality, and in particular apps, whether it's apps that we ship Microsoft or whether it's app that maybe some of you are building if you're a partner or an ISV. So that's the carousel. Track your work at the bottom is typically the standard things I would do as a contributor to a project. You know, I want to manage all the projects or look at all the projects that I manage. Maybe I'm in this case, I'm logged in as the Uber administrator, so not only I can manage projects, but I can manage approvals, I can approve or reject what everyone's doing, and obviously I can track work and then build report. On the left-hand side, again, back on this journey of making it easier to get started, and you see that also in the in Word, Excel, and Project, we wanted to really simplify the menus, and you know, notice how there's not a lot of things on the left-hand side. And you might ask, hey, Christoph, how about if I want to see more? And you can do that very easy by just click Edit Links, and suddenly you get additional capabilities. Hey, you want to do timesheets, you want to do portfolio strategy, and all those links are here. So it's not like we've, again, we haven't hidden, we're not delivering less functionality, we just pick the usual suspects, but it's very easy to tailor to whatever's your need. Okay, so that's just a general user interface. First scenario I want to show you, back to Brad's point on, you know, seeing what people are doing, is, again, when we look at how companies are using SharePoint, a lot of folks are using SharePoint to manage work. And guess what they're using in SharePoint to manage work? They're using task lists. And that's great. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But again, maybe if Brad's doing managing maintenance requests in a task list, it'd be great if me as the head of IT or me as the head of the consulting practice or services practice, I get an insight on what his bookings are, more importantly, what his availability. So I know, you know, is he 100% allocated doing maintenance requests or is it 50%? And hence I can use his other 50% to work on every type of work. So to do that, I'll show you, we get a project center to show you this is a real demo. No data, right? And then also on the resources, no resources. I guess it's just myself. So I've got no data in this web app. And by the way, as I click the demo I'm doing, I'm running on one of the three data centers we provisioned for preview, which is in Europe, in Amsterdam, to be precise. So hopefully you'll notice some of the performance improvement, just because obviously it's going down the wire from beautiful Gold Coast to Europe. So I got a Virgin Ivory Tower PMO called a project web app. But as I mentioned, I got folks on my team that are working on maintenance requests and they're using SharePoint tasks. And that's fine. And you can see here I got a set of tasks, and notice here some of the timeline enhancements that we shipped in this next version of SharePoint. And I got a set of tasks. And you can see some of the people that are assigned, Dave, Mike, Cindy, are all there. That's great. And they're collaborating. And there's nothing wrong with that. But again, let's say I want to get an insight on the stuff they're doing. So to do so in 2013, I can just easily go to projects. And I've got in my ribbon, add SharePoint site. The orange button typically means the UI hasn't been finalized, the icon. So this is not the shipping product yet. But automatically detects that I've got different sites underneath that root project web app, including that maintenance request team site. And I could go a step further if I can import different task lists, because again, you can have different task lists within a SharePoint site. So I'm just going to import maintenance requests. And it takes a couple seconds, but basically what it does is it creates a relationship between the project web app, think of the PMO, and that subsite. And from there on, every time the team is going to add work, update assignments, at the Uber level, I'm going to get insight. So think of not just maybe a maintenance request site, but maybe dozens, hundreds, thousands of subsite, potentially roll up to that Uber level so I can get insights in terms of what everyone's doing in the organization. So I just press F5. Okay, so I see the maintenance request, right? I've got work on my timeline, and so I can, you know, I can drill down, but I'm not going to do that. And look at that. You know, I now in my resource pool, I got Cindy, Dave, and Mike. And you know, if I do a little resource availability, which is standard capabilities, and you can see again, I'm looking at based on assignments that happen in a SharePoint task list, I get a clear insight of those three people in my organization. Now, obviously, this is a very simplistic demo. You know, probably, again, Cindy, Mike, and Dave are not just assigned on task lists. They're probably assigned to full-blown projects and assignments. But, again, we're rolling it up so you can get the holistic view of all the assignments happening in your organization. And, again, to summarize, the team that's working in a task list, they don't have to leave that environment. You know, you're not forcing from a change management. They can stay where they are. It's just someone higher up can get insights in terms of deliverable and capacity. So that's the first demo. For the rest of the demos, I'm going to switch instance. So that's why I'm going to switch to PWA. So I got a little more data. So it's a little more, it's got more color in the demo. And in this scenario, so I'll show you how you can manage work, depending on if it's lightweight work or structured work. This next demo is this notion of change requests, also called ideation or demand management, different terms. But the bottom line is, it doesn't matter what organization you're in, you're always going to have change requests. Hey, Christoph, if you're in IT, hey, Christoph, you know, you're my friend in IT, can you add this new site on my SharePoint farm? Can you add this app? Can you put, I don't know, community update? Can you patch the new SQL? Can you give me Windows 8, et cetera? Or if you're in R&D, you know, maybe once a year, you do a big contest. Let's have an ideation contest. You know, all my researcher, my PhDs, let's submit what we think we should do as an organization to be competitive. The bottom line is all those scenarios where you're doing ideations or new product developments or you're just in IT managing change requests, you've got a funnel. And typically, most common case to manage the funnel is our SharePoint lists, right? So that's what we created. I got a site called New Product Development. I've created a standard SharePoint item list called Ideation. And the idea here is, you know, a researcher can submit what they think is a great idea. So here, by the way, I just click on Edit. This is one of the cool new thing in SharePoint. I can just do inline editing. And I'm going to do AustTechEd ID. And guess what? I've already put a little structure on how I'm going to do that ideation or that change request, and I'm already going to ask the end user, give me a little color on what you're asking besides AustTechEd ID. You know, you think it's going to be a risky thing. You know, let's pick medium. Do you have an ID maybe on the estimated cost? I'll just put 500 and maybe a description. Sorry, not being very creative, but and start date, probably another thing that typically, when I presented this to a large manufacturing customer from Switzerland last week, and they actually got very excited about the notion of rating, which is obviously, especially if you're doing an ideation contest, but basically, you can start being fancy, and this is not new in 2013, by the way, right? You can have this in SharePoint 2010, but it's the notion of, you know, if this ID gets a 5-star or 5 stars for more than 20 people, then that's going to trigger. Maybe we should really look at this because I think this ID from Brad he's onto something and it's been validated from, you know, from a crowdsourcing by different peers in the organization. But anyway, I've just captured an item in a SharePoint item list, nothing more. And guess what happens? Maybe once a week, once a quarter, once a day, I think this ID is a great one and I want to graduate this ID to project server, so then I can say, hey, Brad, it's not just about a couple fields that you fill in, but how about if we build a real business case on why we should do this new project? Or, you know, if it's an IT request, let's build a real business case of what it's going to take to upgrade to SharePoint 2013. Let's build a business case of what is it going to take to go to SharePoint Online. So to do that, it's simple as one click. I go to Create Project, new button right here. In 2013, and you can see that some of those columns that are already put in the list actually map to metadata buckets that I've already defined in project. So I'm not going to walk through each one of them, but one thing I want to highlight is each request, I can start dispatching. So maybe I already know, you know, we started with a big contest, say, where should we do the team Christmas party, or where should we have dinner tonight at the Gulf Coast for a TechEd? And maybe some of the requests, I know it's a major capital project, and that's going to kick off a specific methodology, a specific stage gate. But maybe this other request is just a 1-2-level approval. So again, each request, I can start dispatching depending on what I want to do. So we introduced this notion in 2010, and obviously you can leverage it in 2013, which is each one can kick off a different type, and each type is tied to different workflow. So in this case, I'm going to pick NPD, which stands for New Product Development. I'm just going to click Create Project. Couple seconds, automatically that item is going to be converted into a full-blown project, and it's going to kick off a workflow. So I'm navigating back to the Uber, the umbrella, the project web app, and let's go to projects. And here we go. It came across. And a couple of things I want to show is the way I build a workflow. Standard create, select, plan, and manage. Whatever it is. You know, you're doing Prince 2, you're doing PM Box, you just want a one-level approval, whatever. You want to create a business rule that if it's below a specific dollar threshold or above, you know, you create specific exceptions or approval. Sky's the limit. You know why? Because in 2013, you can edit the workflow using SharePoint Designer or Visio. So again, you know, we heard loud and clear that creating a workflow with Visual Studio or using partner-based solution was not the ideal solution in 2013. We listened to that. So to do workflow authoring, any business processes, SharePoint Designer or Visio. Everyone's very quiet. Typically, that gets people excited. But so anyway, that. You know, I can't cheat the system. It's telling me exactly, hey, Christoph, we think Brad is onto a great idea. Let's start building a business case. And I can't just skip and say I'm done. No, I've got it walks me through what I need to do at each stage to fulfill that request. And typically, you know, I need to provide additional information. You can see that the data that I've already entered in the item list came across, you know, like here's the budget on the risk. If I wanted to capture more upfront in SharePoint, you know, I would have got it across here. But the idea typically is once you graduate to a further evaluation in project, you want to build a business case. And one of the things we do when we build a business case is this idea, how does it align to our department, whether it's the engineering R&D department or whether it's IT or whether it's the Uber objectives we've got as an organization. And this is, again, something... It's not new in 2013, but it's the idea of we want to start aligning each request with what we say we wanted to do as a team, as an organization, as a company. So you start saying, hey, this idea, is it going to help us expand a new market? Is it going to help us improve customer satisfaction, et cetera, et cetera? I'm not going to step through all of them, but basically you start building that business case. Let me pause. So I'm doing all this evaluation. I haven't touched project, right? I haven't shown you any schedule yet. Typically, at the end of the day, when I build that business case, maybe it's IT, maybe it's the board meeting, but some set of executives is going to say, okay, we've collected all the requests from everyone. Now, let's sit down and evaluate all those requests based on constraints we have, whether it's budget constraints or resource constraints. So the next part is I'm taking you to what we call portfolio analysis. Again, I could be spending a lot of time on this, and I'm not going to give you all the theory and the math and the equations behind that. But the idea on the screen is, let me step back. We've collected requests from everyone. Each row is a request. Think of it's different terms. You can think of a project, you can think of a program, you can think of a portfolio, a work package. Each column is how does each one rank against what we say we ought to do as a team, organization, or as a company. So I've already done that. And the first pivot is, hey, do we have enough money to do all those requests? You can tell it's a little refresh bug. So typically the way customers use this is, right now I've got 9 programs for a total value of $2 million. And guess what? How about if my budget gets sliced in half? What happens? And you're going to see the system, based on the individual criteria evaluations, our alignment that I've captured, is going to say, okay, well, if you only have $1 million, you can only do five. Here's the four that got kicked out. And you can, you know, it's calculated by the system. But like everyone wants is, you know, it's great to give me what I should be doing, but I know for regulatory or, you know, it's just my pet project, I really want to do that CRM project, so I'm just going to force it in. And yes, you can create dependency. You know, if I'm doing project A, I can bring in project B or C if they're tied to the hip. And what you're looking at is, for $1 million, I still get about 71% of the total value. You know, the fancy term in industry is looking at the efficient frontier, which is you get here on the left-hand side. And strategic alignment is also a good way to see, you know, am I putting dollars where I say I want to be going as an organization? Now, again, we got plenty of additional information on this topic. The bottom line is, back to Brad's point, is you want to start rationalize your big decisions. And more importantly, what a tool like that helps you is communicate back to the business units, or, you know, if you're in IT, or back to your head of R&D is, you know, here's why we didn't do this project, because, you know, it's just too costly and it wasn't as aligned with what we say we want to do this year. So at least, you know, it puts you in the kind of a, you're going to shine, because it gives you some rationale behind the pushback on why you're not doing certain things. Now, obviously, I did it on constraint on cost, but you can do any multi-value constraints such as risks and internal rate of return, et cetera. And then the other thing I'm not going to show you because of lack of time, but typically it's great to know that for $1 million I can do those five initiatives, but typically the next battle is, do I have enough resources to do those five initiatives? You know, do I have enough DBA with Microsoft SQL skills? Do you have enough developers? Do you have the two project managers that are needed? Do I have the legal assistant that's going to help me file a patent if I'm an R&D? So typically, the next simulation is based on the capacity I got in my team, and based on the top level ask from all those folks that submitted ID, you know, what's the delta, what's the surplus and deficit? And typically the two modeling technique is, either you're modeling hiring full-time equivalent, you know, where it's a full-time employee, or you're just going to get like a vendor or partner like one of you just for that peak, that workload, that resource shortage that maybe I've got in the month of September. Typically, at the end of that modeling technique, that exercise, you know, whether you do it quarterly, whether you do it annually, at the end of the day, you're going to say, okay, we got five initiatives. Here's the resources you're going to get, Mr. Project Management. You know, here's the baton. Start executing. Start building a schedule and, you know, start building a team. And then hopefully, you know, from there on, we've captured the data on what decision we made today. And typically, you know, every month, every quarter, you want to start looking back. You know, today we gave you X dollars with that many resources. You know, are you on track with what you said you ask and what you're delivering? Are you, do you have a resource shortage? Are you burning dollars faster than you say you should, et cetera, et cetera? So you see, this is not a set plan in time, but it's evolving over time. So the next thing I want to show you that I got asked actually earlier by a gentleman was, you know, what did we do around BI and reporting? So in an online world, we don't give you direct access to our database, because that would be a no-no from a security point of view. So the way we give you access to all the data is through standard called OData, an all-in-one word. And again, this is not something we invented in Microsoft. It's an industry standard to consume data. Think of it as XML. And so out of the box, we ship a set of templates. And, you know, I'm just going to pick one that I've created. So again, we're continuing on this journey that in 2010, you know, everyone's tool of choice, typically at the end of the day, especially to massage data, is Excel. So here, this is Excel 2013. Actually, it's the Excel web app. And I've created a dashboard on the data I have. And it's refreshing. And so I got some data here. And I can, now you see this is interactive. And I can slice and dice the data. Now, just to take this a little step further and make it a little more fun, how about if I show it to you how easy it is to create a report? So I'm just going to fire Excel 2013. I got a blank Excel. And to do this, what's new in Excel 2013 is, you know, I went to Fired Excel, went to data, and right here you got to create report from a no data feed, right? So I'm going to pick that option. Oops. Apologize for the switching. And I'm just going to paste in, basically we expose all the data and the data model through a URL that's well documented. Again, I'll skip the what the URL is. But basically, automatically, I provided this basically the URL of my online tenant, and it's detecting all those data streams that we've enabled. You know, I can look at assignments baseline. I can look at issues, deliverables, portfolio, resources, timesheets, pretty much the entire span of data you would expect to extract out of the system to make decisions. And let me just pick one, the project workflow stage set, so I can look at an insight of where are all the in-flight projects and where do we stand. And I just say, you know, it's kind of like creating a pivot table. And by the way, because we're not only we're shipping data model, but we're also shipping pre-connected data configuration. So you don't have to actually start from scratch when we're going to be shipping the product. You're already going to have the connection established between Excel and the online environment. And probably the next question you have is, Christoph, this is online. How about on-prem? Well, guess what? Again, we're shipping one product. You want to use OData on-prem? Yes, you can. And you know, it's not just Project Server. SharePoint's also exposing a bunch of its list through OData. So it's connecting to my Amsterdam data center, and voila, now I'm in a pivot table world, and I can slice and dice the project, look at all my in-flights project by stages. And let me just put a little project ID, and maybe I put a little count here, and voila. And not terribly pretty. And then at the end of the day, you know, I can save this to one of the web location, and it remembers, you know, where I was lately, and I'll put a ticket to save that. Saving back to my online environment. And shortly after that, if I go back to my BI center, I'll see that new report, and there on people can consume it. And one more thing I want to mention, it looks like it's still saving. Should be done. Okay, here's TE2, and I can click here, and it renders. And just to pause, you know, you say, hey, Christoph, you're using IE10 on Windows 8 RTM? Yes, I am. I'm very proud, but I have a browser, and maybe my executive's got an iPad and or an Android device or a smaller screen. Well, multi-browser compliant. So, you know, you want to look at that report, and you know, this is Firefox. You want to look at Chrome. You want to do portfolio analysis in Safari. You know, we got full-blown multi-browser compatibility in 2013. So regardless of the device, wherever you are, hopefully, you got an internet connection, and you can use your browser of choice depending on the size of the screen you're using. Okay, so I'll show a little bit of BI. Next thing I want to show you is, it was touched upon by my colleagues earlier when they gave the SharePoint 2013 overview, which is the notion of, and also back to Brad's point, is, you know, there's a lot of things we want to make sure we improve in this version to make the individual contributor the hero. And typically, again, when you look at the way we manage work, it's not just structured work, things that have been assigned by a trained project manager and project server. I mean, it might be work that comes from a task list, like I showed you. They might be work or just my personal to-dos. And in 2013, you'll notice, here in the online, it's called Newsfeed, but basically think of this as the rebranded My Site experience. And this is a pivot on Christoph. You know, this could potentially be my homepage. Yeah, some of you are smiling. Yeah, this is a picture of me with a mustache at the project conference. Leave that aside. Bottom line is, this is my view of what matters to me. You know, people I follow, people I like, what's going on, the documents, my friends, my sites, my tags. And, you know, again, there was a great session early on. One thing I do want to show is the task pivot. So the idea here we delivered is, this should be your control tower of all the work I care about. And guess what? There's work that it might have been task assigned by my favorite project manager, which you're seeing here. You know, this project online migration, for instance, marketing campaign. It might be work assigned in a SharePoint task list, which I demoed earlier. Or it might just be Christoph's personal shopping list on to-dos. And here you can see, you know, I got a, one of my kids is a Boy Scout, and you know, he's got a upcoming kayaking merit badge that we got to work on when I get back to Seattle. But the bottom line is, this is all the work I care about. And you're probably wondering, okay, Christoph, this is great. Can you change it? Yes. Can you access it on your mobile device? Yes. And how easy is it to update things? I can, it's as easy as just striking things. Like I'm done, and you can see here a little wheel of spinning, and you can see a toast here. How about if it's a project server task? I want to strike it, like done, same thing. Every time I strike, you know, in this case, I'm just making 100% complete. You're probably saying, hey, Christoph, it's not just about 100%. Maybe I want to put actual work. Maybe I want to do a timesheet. And you can do all that. The idea is me as an individual contributor, under that task for my site, I see all the work that I care about. Okay, so that's the newsfeed and the person-centric task. One more thing I want to mention is all this, you can sync to Exchange. By syncing to Exchange, then you want to consume it on Android, you want to consume it on iPhone, with Exchange Active Sync, wherever you are, and you see a beautiful Windows phone, it's going to be where you are, right? Because it's syncing to Exchange. This is a big, actually, you're smiling, but Exchange 2010 didn't, sorry, SharePoint 2010 didn't integrate with Exchange, integrate with Outlook by going directly server to server. Now we can enable a lot more devices and scenarios. So I also think this is a very cool value for anyone using standard SharePoint, regardless of the added value of project and project server. Newsfeed. I've talked about that. Okay, let's go back to a parenthesis on the what I mentioned earlier, which is the click to run. So, you know, I'm demoing Project Web App, which is, again, think of Project Server on-prem, except now it's called Project Online. But like I mentioned earlier, we're also delivering it online, your favorite desktop application, whether you know, experience, PMP certified project manager, or you're just a casual or accidental, also be accidental project manager. We're delivering a subscription. So here I can manage everywhere I've installed Project Professional 2013. And you can see here, so I just went into admin settings, or I can also access it here with the wheel. We're working on the UI to make it very easy to discover when we ship the product. But here you can see I've already put it on two machines. As you can see, I got one of my server environment. And again, the idea is every time I fire Project Professional on all those machines, it knows who I am because it's got the service. You know, if I switch, I actually get Project Professional if we get a little bit of time. Every time I switch from Christoph, my online demo environment, to Christoph at Microsoft, actually the backstage changes because it knows what I work on, whether I was Christoph, a Microsoft employee, or Christoph, part of the Project Online tenant. So the idea is I work on my, let's say it's a standard desktop under my desk and my cubicle at work, and that's great, but I've got to leave early to pick up the kids. I've got to leave early to go surfing because there's some great waves today. You know, then I go back at home, and sure enough, I get another PC, another laptop, whatever. And I log in online. I fired up Project Professional. Automatically, it downloads the latest service pack, latest service update, latest community update, and I pick it up where I left it off on that other PC. Basically, as the colleagues talked about earlier, we'll give you up to 5 devices per subscription. So that's why you see here, you know, I've got remaining installs of 3. So again, the idea from an IT or from an end user is I know I'll be running the latest and greatest, and it's automatically going to patch. And, you know, it's using the click-to-run, the streaming technology that we've been investing heavily in this release. So I'm not saying that everyone should be using Project Professional, but we're making it very easy to use it, whatever device you're on. Another question typically I get when I do that little spiel is, how about the web app? What did we do? Actually, a gentleman asked me earlier in a session I gave at the Interactive Theater is, we also made significant improvement in the web app. Web app is the thin client that's browser-based that, again, I can run on Safari, Firefox, Chrome, or my beloved IE10. So here I just created a timeline. I was goofing off, and I created a Olympic theme timeline. But the point is, in 2013, there is a key difference in the web app. We actually put the scheduling engine that we had for, I think, 23 years on the desktop, we put it on the server, meaning it's full party whether you're on the desktop or on the web app. Now, to set expectation, it doesn't mean we've enabled on the UI all the things you can do with the desktop, and we did a ton in 2010, and we got a ton of great new innovations in 2013. But one cool thing that you can do now in 2013 is you can now set baseline directly in the web app. Why did we pick this one? Again, based on user feedback and ask. Does it mean because we get the same scheduling on the server, on the desktop, that potentially in the future via a service update, a service pack, a community update, or just the next version, we add additional capability? Probably. Does it mean that one is better than ever? No. It depends on the scenario. If I'm traveling and I just want to add a task, you know, the web app is sufficient. Do I want to change an assignment, a duration? Yeah, that's good enough. Do I want to, you know, maybe I'm building an aircraft or a big construction. Maybe being a browser all day long is not the best user experience. So, you know, we, Microsoft, we're about choices. It's not all or nothing, all the web app or all the desktop. There is pros and cons on each. You know, another classical scenario, especially when you're coming over to this country, is on a long flight, you know, you might not have internet access. So maybe I'm working offline in a Word or a project or Visio. So again, we give you choice. But the web app, not only it's multi-browser, we give you additional flex capabilities, and it's got the full scheduling engine on the back end. Okay. One more demo, and then I'll take questions. So let me go back to the homepage, Project Online. So I've already showed you, hopefully, I've illustrated the point that you can do full end-to-end project portfolio management. You can do demand management. You can do resource management. You can do portfolio analysis. I didn't show you, but you can do timesheets, et cetera, et cetera. Well, how about if you want to take it even a step further? How about if you want to get started very quickly with your Prince2 or your Agile, your Scrum, or how about if you want to, you know, you're federal or, you know, you're in healthcare or mining, and maybe there's a specific methodology or specific way to build or deliver projects. Well, how about if you can start very quickly? And the way we're going to help you with that is with the new SharePoint app model. You click on this icon, and basically you can access app. Sorry, let me step back. There's two apps, really, that you can leverage. There's apps that you built. Me, contoso.com, that's the one I'll demo. Or you want to purchase off-the-shelf app built maybe by a partner, built by an industry expert to help you get started with whatever you're trying to achieve in your project management office. So you can see here I've got apps I can add, and apps are specific to Contoso, and I'll get back to the Contoso one. And to show you this is real, I'm going to go to the SharePoint store. So again, we're going out to our data center, and here we're listing all the preview apps. Now you see we've got a few at preview. We're going to get more at GA, and hopefully this is a journey, but hopefully we'll get hundreds and thousands and et cetera as more and more partners delivered app. If I just click on the project management, you can see we got a few. We got a time tracking app that lights up our out-of-the-box capability. It looks like in Europe, milestone trend analysis is pretty big. We get some quick start guides. So those are some of the free apps. Obviously, it's free because it's still in preview. Then you can kick the tire off. But I can tell you there's a lot of partners working on apps today to help people get started. So that's publicly available app. And, you know, obviously you'll have transparent pricing and evals and you know, what do people think on ratings. So, again, making it easier for you to choose which one are good. But let me go to an app that actually we built, Microsoft, to also show you some of the enhanced extensibility that we built. And one thing we're seeing, and hopefully that will resonate with you, is Agile is pretty big, whether it's Agile, Scrum, the whole notion of using the methodology, and not just to build software projects, but also elsewhere. And we recognize that, and we say it wouldn't be great to build a task board app to give you that agile way of assigning work. So we built a little app, and it's called the Project Task Board. And here, you know, I've got a set of team members, and I've got, for instance, Robin, and I can say, Robin, you work on the product reconcile. Robin, you do, you know, we get some deferred task, et cetera, and I can do multi-assignments. You get the idea. This is, again, this was built by an intern in a couple weeks back in Redmond. What I want to illustrate is, ignore the agile and the methodology thing, is very quickly, especially if you're a partner or if you get developers, you can, you know, think of how this is going to address your favorite customers in mining or your favorite customer in defense. You know, think of potentially how far you can take, and then you can package it, not only serve that customers, but you can put it in an app store, and maybe it becomes a nice opportunity for you. So that's the app. And then remember, this is what I'm doing here is just another way of looking at the work that I manage. Guess what all the data is in the back end? It's a SharePoint task list. Guess what I did with the SharePoint task list? I subscribed for my PMO. So if the team's using this task board to assign things, that's great. But at the higher up level, at the ivory tower, tower level, the PMO, they get insights on all the assignments, on what's going on in that team, right? So we're connecting the dots, whether this is my task board that the team is using, all the way up to the food chain, whether it's the CIO, the dev lead, whoever needs to look at capacity. So that's the app model. Again, I think it's going to change things. You know, it's going to make it easier for you to get started as a customer. It's a great opportunity for partners. And again, at the end of the day, we're going to help you get value much quicker. With that, let me go back to the project online. I've got a couple slides to wrap up, and I want to make sure I wrap up with a couple slides before I take questions. But we got a couple call to actions to all of you. Actually, the main reason, besides visiting relative here in Australia, is actually we do have a Project Ignite training next week. So that's why I'm here. And so I know it's a little bit of last minute, but it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday last week. If you're in, if you got an architect, you want to send one of your technical person, you know, we still have spots. It's in the Microsoft Sydney office, so definitely reach out to us. And if you can't make it, that's okay. We're also going to be streaming it live via link. And, you know, if you want to travel to Eastern U.S., which is Western Virginia, or if you want to come to Poland, you definitely feel free to join me at those locations. With that, basically, there's three call to actions. You want to talk about it?
Sure. First one, try it. So you've got the slide deck coming your way. The link's there. Give it a go. There's a lot of changes, and there's a lot of innovation, and the capabilities there now for you to try. So key takeaway is, there it is. Give it a go. The second one is ready yourselves. The solution's nearly here. The product's nearly here. So in terms of product information, you can see the link there. For technical people, go jump onto TechNet. There's a plethora of information. And developers, our old friends at MSDN, there's a heap of information there for you as well. And spread the love. Tell people about it. Once you start to use it, you're going to love it. Well, hopefully you'll love it anyway. So with that, finally, please complete your eval. It's important to us. We want to make sure that we're getting the right messaging to you. And going to the draw to win a lovely mouse. with that, we'd like to spend the next couple of minutes fielding any questions that you may have. And Christoph and I will be here for a little bit after the session. And I'll be here for the rest of the week. If you have any questions that you have of me, I'm happy to sit down. I'm your contact in Australia. If you need me, call me, email me. Here to help. So thank you, and good luck with Project Online.
Thank you.
Any questions? I've never seen a Tech Ed Australia without a question. We've got two. Vaso.
Where do I come to see you tomorrow at 11?
We're going to meet down in the... on the expo hall, you know, there's a speaker corner.
Is it what side?
In that corner. So that's where we're going to meet. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, great question. So the question was, how do we manage the licensing and the subscription Is it the same for both Project Online, and is it the same for PWA? Might hand that one off to you, Christoph. That didn't tell me a lot down here.
Yeah, so we're going to come up with a lot of guidance. But again, in this online world, think of a service. You're buying a service. So it's not PWA. It's really, basically you're going to have two plans. So I shouldn't say that. It's not called plans. But basically, there's one subscription where you just get access to the web app. Think of what we call the client access license just to get access to PWA today on premises. And the other one is going to be that plus the project subscription. Similar, another analogy today, if you buy Project Professional, you're entitled for a client access license to access PWA. And it's not, no, the question is it same as E3? No, it's not same as E3. So let me step back. The way Project Online is going to be offered, either, you've got a PMO and you just want to start with Project Online on top of SharePoint Online. So you just go buy that direct. That's one way, subscription per user. Or you're an existing customer, maybe E3, which is a hero offer that gives you SharePoint Online, Link Online, and SharePoint Online and Office subscription, and you can add Project Online. So for instance, the demos I was doing is an E3 tenant with Project Online on top. So again, there's different starting points depending on where you are. I mean, the folks that raised their hand that were already on 365, probably when we ship, they'll add it on. Maybe there's a team in your organization that, they don't want to wait for IT, they got this multi-million project starting tomorrow, they're just going to go with Project Online because maybe they still have Exchange on-prem and they don't need a full E3, but they sure do need to collaborate on projects. So again, different starting point, different options. Hopefully it's pretty flexible.
Yeah, I think it's important to add there that software assurance will give you that transition as well.
Yeah. So the question is, how do I assign users? I showed it to you a little bit when I was showing me myself and those different services. I mean, this is not specific to project, but basically in 365, either you can every day manage per user, and here's the 800, and check off, check on, or you use AD Sync, et cetera, and you can use groups. But yeah, basically it's per user. Yeah. And then each user subscription, as I showed, you get 5 PCs you can put the click to run. Hopefully we're very transparent and very competitive in terms of pricing. And you pay what you need, and if you, after a year, you don't need a 1 month subscription for Brad because Brad is just doesn't need it, then voila, you're not locked into this multi-year purchase. No, it's just two roles. It's the person that's just gonna use the web app, and the person's gonna use the web app but also manage schedule. Typically the project manager that needs access to the subscription, Project Pro for Office 365.
Question for finish, yeah? Gentleman down the back, in the hat.
You just made a mention earlier that get ready for it, it's nearly ready.
Yep.
Can you be a bit more specific on nearly?
That's a good question. So the question, I think if I can interpret that, is when is the capability going to be available? We're not in a position at the moment to give any firm dates. Suffice to say that this financial year, within the next 6 months, Christoph, coming from the product team, is there anything more that you'd like to share with us?
The first point I always make is we're part of the Office division. So at the same time, you're going to get a new Word, a new Excel, a new Exchange, a new Link, a new SharePoint. That's when you're going to get a new project on your new project server. So again, we're not sharing any timeline. You can see the name is 2013, so hopefully, we're still in 2012. We're not too late. But hopefully it will exceed expectations. And preview is, think of it as in the 2010 days, we call it the beta. And after preview is what we call RTM, or general availability. So, we're getting pretty close, but we're not disclosing any date. I mean, one more thing I want to mention, I should have put in the introduction. What's so unique about this release is it's not just Office Desktop, SharePoint, and Project. There's two products that didn't ship at the exact same date last time, Exchange on Link. Exchange was a little earlier, and Link was a little after. This time, we're all going at the same time. So that's why, one thing I didn't show you is Presence, Link Presence. You get it on the desktop, you get it in web app, all the Exchange, team mailbox, et cetera, et cetera. But because we're all marching on the same line, whether it's the desktop products, whether it's the server products, whether it's the services, again, it helps us bring a lot more innovation because all the products going to release at the same time.
Try the preview as well.
Yeah.
Try the preview.
Yeah, it's just that I've got clients that just can't afford an on-site type of situation.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've told them about this, so they're at me all the time. So if I can have something a bit more...
Yeah, look, reach out to me personally.
Follow up with Brian.
I'd be happy to come in and have a deeper discussion with you around it. Yeah.
I mean, typically, that's why we say in the last bullet was spread the love, is definitely you tell your customer not to go in the wrong path with a competitor product because this is coming. I mean, there's nothing wrong with competitors, but tell them that we got this coming.
Got time for one more question.
Uh-huh.
Go for it.
Okay.
So I've got a two-parter. Christoph mentioned a couple of times that the on-prem version and the online version are feature parity.
Yep.
And if cubes are removed from the online version, does that mean they're also removed from the on-prem version? And also, if that's replaced with the excellent OData stuff that you showed, Excel supports OData, but as far as I know, Excel Services doesn't. Is that true?
Yeah, so the question is, you know, how is BI online versus BI on-prem, and are you cutting any features from the existing version? And no, we're not cutting anything. You want to use analysis services on-prem? Continue to do so.
Hang on.
So you're on-prem, you want to use analysis services and OLAP, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, absolutely. You can continue to do so. We're on this journey with SQL Azure and analysis service in Azure and reporting services. You know, expect to see more in the future. But the bottom line is we realize reporting is key. And if there's still gaps, there's gaps at preview, we're going to make up for those gaps.
We might take this discussion
outside.
We need to be respectful of the new team coming in. Thank you, everybody, and look forward to seeing you soon.